illustrations that he's making. Okay, so it's great to see you, everybody. It's great to see all you kids here. I'm very familiar with a lot of you from Mondays and Tuesday nights. And it's been off for a wee while, but it's good to see you today, all bright and breezy on a Sunday morning. And it's really great, and it is a pleasure to hear you sing. You sung so good, and there's the great musical instruments there. I love to see young people with instruments. Okay, so today we're going to talk about a specific animal that briefly appeared here. We're going to talk about snakes. Who likes snakes? Does anybody like snakes? Serpents? You like snakes? Who doesn't like snakes? Are they scary? Yeah, you ever see them in Belfast Zoo, have you? Does anybody own a snake? No, do you own a snake? What? That's incredible. Well, snakes are pretty scary. But snakes appear so often in the Bible. In the Bible, in God's Word, they're called serpents. And serpents appear all over the Bible in so many of the books. And I just want to draw out some of them for you today and some wee stories. And hopefully it will be of benefit to you and you maybe learn something. But before we start, we're going to pray. We're going to ask God to bless us this time. So we're going to do the prayer drill. You all know it. So P-R-A-Y. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for bringing us here into the Martyrs. We thank you for the faithful ministry you have here. We thank you for all the kids that came out of their beds and they came on the buses and they came here to sing and to bless us with their presence and their singing ability. We thank you for them turning up every Sunday to Sunday school. We thank you for letting them learn so much. And we thank you for all their smiling faces. And I pray that we would learn something new today from your word and that we will go home and apply it to our lives, and may it be a blessing to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so whenever we think about serpents in the Bible, it's generally a negative thing. Sometimes it's seen as a positive because it's your wisdom, but most of the time when you read about serpents, it's a negative thing. And there's two kind of serpents in the Bible. There's your bog standard snake. And look what I've got here. I've got one with me today, a big green snake. Let it sit here just for the minute there. So a green snake. What do you think of when you think of snakes? Can anybody tell me what's the first thing they think of when they think of a snake? Yeah. Yeah. Say, June. Yeah. What do you think of? Yeah. Poison. Yeah. Think about poison. Anybody else? Yeah. Yeah. The hissing. Yeah. There we go. Well, here's some things. They're sneaky. You know, in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 3, it said, "Now the serpent is more subtle or crafty than any beast in the field which the Lord God hath made." So out of all the creatures, the snake was the most crafty and was most sneaky. It's also seen as deceitful, you know, trying to trick you. Whenever they hide on their prey, they eat other animals. So when they hide, sometimes they would play dead. And they would pretend that they're dead, and then they would pounce at the moment when they least expect it. Sometimes they're camouflaged. They don't make a lot of noise. They slither, and they don't make a lot of noise. And they know the habits of their prey, and they know how to trap them. And they have venom. Once they stick their fangs into them, then that's when it's dangerous, because that is fatal. And sometimes if you get a snake bite, it's very, very, very serious. So those are snakes. But there's also, in the Bible, there's also another type of serpent, and I've got one here. Look at this. Oh, what's this? Does anybody know what this is? Yeah, it's a dragon. Oh, see, I used to collect dragons when I was a wee kid, and they came in these dragon eggs, and this is one of them. So this is one that I got for Christmas one year. So there you go. There's like a dragon. Oh, and the thing is, though, they're not sneaky and they're not slithery per se. They're devouring. They're destructive and they're terrifying. They don't care about creeping up on their victims. They're just willing to destroy and devour. That's what the Bible talks about. You don't see many dragons about today, but the Bible talks about dragons. Whenever you see it, it talks about how they're destructive and how they're dangerous and they want to devour. But when we talk about serpents in the Bible, they're generally linked to three different kind of things. Okay, so number one, as you maybe know, it's linked to Satan, who we'll hear about in a wee minute, by Satan, the evil one, the enemy of God. Then we talk about God's enemies, so some humans that defy God and stand up against God, they're sometimes linked to snakes. And then we also think about sin. Remember what sin is? We hear in kids' club, sin is the bad stuff we think, bad stuff we say, and the bad stuff we do that displease God. And sometimes it's linked to serpents as well. So we want to bring about three different stories in the Bible that are true. But I'm sure you've heard in many stories throughout history, you'll see many, many stories of people have written in poems and in books and in paintings and even in movies nowadays, that they'll see a story about a big dragon and they've captured a damsel in distress and she cannot help herself. She's maybe locked away in some tower. And then we have a brave and gallant knight that comes and is willing to risk his life to destroy and fight off the dragon and save the bride or save the princess. Have you all heard that story before? You all heard something like that? Well, that's the story that's told. And as exciting as they are, they're not true. They didn't really happen. But when we read in the Bible something very similar to this, we read something about a serpent that's captured us in our sin, but we read of somebody who has come to destroy the power of the serpent and to set the captured people free. I want you to think about who that might be as we continue through this story. But let's continue. First, we want to talk about the garden serpent, the serpent we see in the garden. It's the most obvious one. It's one I'm sure you know what I'm going to talk about. But we first start in the start of creation, where God created the world in 6 days. 6 days he created the earth, he created the universe, and then he zoomed in on the earth and he created man and woman. Does anybody know who the first man and first woman was? Shout it out.
Adam and Eve.
Adam and Eve were the first man and the first woman. And whenever God was creating all the trees and the animals, he said it was good. But when he created man, he said it was very good. It was very good. And we think of how God created us, and he created us in his image. Now, what does that mean? He created us to show what God is like in the earth. So we have a very special, and when we were created in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had a very special connection, a very special relationship with God. God would come into the garden and spend time with Adam and Eve, and walked in the garden in the cool of the day, the Bible says, and they had a connection together and a relationship, for he loved them. God didn't just create us and then just step back and just wandered away. God created us and then wants and established a relationship with us because he loves us so much, and he loved Adam and Eve so much. But God gave them a command, didn't he? God says, you can eat of any tree you want in the garden, but, there's a big but, you cannot eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. For if you eat of that fruit, you will surely die. That's what God says. So God says you can eat of any tree in the garden you want, except this one, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We don't know what fruit it was. Could have been any fruit in the tree. But this is what God had commanded. So God had given us a choice, and it's a choice we have today, a choice between good and evil, a choice between following the creator of the universe, following in his footsteps, doing what he wants us to do, or we also have another choice, to disobey God, to turn our backs on the one that loves us, to turn our backs on the one that created us, and to go our own way. We have a choice, and this was the choice that was presented to Adam and Eve. But we're here in the garden. What do we see here? We see a snake. Oh, we see the snake. And this is what Satan, we think of Satan when we talk about Satan. Satan was once an angel, a beautiful angel in heaven. But he wanted to be like God. He was full of pride. And he didn't want to just serve God. He wanted to be God himself. And God cast him out of heaven for his pride and for his rebellion against God. And he hates God and he hates his people. And he wants to destroy them. So here he was in the garden and he took the form of a snake. He took the form of a snake. Whether he transformed into a snake or went into the snake, we don't know. But he took the form of a snake and he approached Eve. He went to Eve. Remember, snakes are crafty and they're sly and they try to deceive. And they tried with two questions. He started to question God. Did God really say that you can't eat of any tree in the garden? Did God really say that? And that's sometimes what Satan does. He tries to question what God does, tries to question if God is good or not. And not only did he question God, he outright contradicted God. He said what God was saying was not true. He started lying about God. He said, "You will not die if you eat of this fruit. God's just trying to hide something from you. God has all this power and he's just trying to keep it from you. He's trying to hide something from you." And he says, you will not die. You'll be like God. That's the lies that Satan tried to tell them. And maybe you today are given in to temptation. We hear this voice inside our head when we're presented with a decision, a choice to do God's will or to do our own will. And we have a choice to make, and we hear voices and we say, "Oh, maybe God's trying to ruin our fun. Maybe God's trying to keep us back from doing what should be ours." Maybe those voices come into your head, and we have to say, "No, God is wonderful. God loves us, and everything that he does is for our benefit and for his glory." And we shouldn't listen to those lies. But sadly, Eve made the wrong choice and ate of the fruit. Because she had seen, "Oh, it looks so wonderful, it looks so great, I'm going to eat this." And then he gave it to Adam, and Adam ate of it too. And sin entered into the world. Remember what we say, sin is the bad stuff we think, say, and do that displease God. And God is holy, so he must punish sin. It's like he can't let sin go unpunished. He has to punish sin. And remember what the verse that you were learning was? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And that is when death, everything changed. Creation was no longer perfect. It was no wonderful. And remember that connection that they had with God? It was severed, that connection. They wanted to hide from God now. Hide, and they made clothes out of fig leaves. And death entered the world. And, you know, they were cast out of the garden that they were created in. They were cast out. And that connection with God has been broken. And we're all born in sin, and we all have a broken relationship with God. We cannot approach God because we have sin in our lives. But God made a promise. I want to talk about, we haven't left the snake. The snake's still here. And this was not the end. The snake may have thought this was a great victory, but God said something in Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. I'm just going to read it out, and then I'm going to explain it. So, Bible says, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast in the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of your life." So, when the Bible says that now the snakes, they don't have legs anymore, they slither about in their bellies, that's because God cursed them. They're cursed to go about in their bellies, and it's almost like they're licking the dust of the ground. And that's God cursed them. But he said something else as well, something that's a little more harder to understand. He says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, this is the image here. I'm not going to put my foot on the pulpit. I don't think you want to see that. But I've got a boot here, and it's basically God says he's going to crush the head of the serpent, but also the serpent is going to bruise that person's heel. The serpent's going to bite into the heel, and before he crushes the serpent, when you think of, so what does that mean? Well, it means that God says, "Look, you are the enemy of me and my people, and you're going to attack my people. You're going to try and deceive them and try and destroy them. But I am sending one person long into the future, and they're going to destroy you. They're going to crush the head of the serpent." That is the promise. God made a promise that he would save his people from the power of the serpent. And someday he would, and we'll talk about that. So that's the first serpent. We're going to talk about the Egyptian serpent now, okay? So in land of Egypt, has anyone been to Egypt before? No? Okay, it's very warm, very warm. I wouldn't want to go near it. It's very warm. I get burnt very easy, so I would not want to be there. But that's the land of the pyramids, the land of pharaohs. I've heard you've been learning the Moses story. You're maybe familiar with it. But here's the story of Egypt. And we're going to fast forward from the Garden of Eden to the Israelites, the people of God. And while they entered Egypt as friends, they're now in Egypt, they're now slaves. They're in bondage and chains, and they're forced to do hard labor for the Egyptians. And they're now enslaved. And you know, Egypt is a land, was a land of serpents as well. There's loads of snakes, but not just snakes. They worship snakes. They actually instead of worshiping the true God, they worship snakes. And then it was called idolatry. And remember, in the commandments, it says, "You shall have no other gods before me." That's commandment number one. You should have no gods before me. But they worship snakes. And there was a god. They worship this god Wadjet, it was called, and it looked like a snake. And you will see it if you look here. There's a pharaoh. It's up on the screens here too. And the pharaoh wore this headdress. And what do you see on the headdress? What do you see? What do you see on it? Yeah. A snake. It's like a cobra, isn't it? And then on the left one there too, that's a coffin. That's the coffin that they would bury their pharaohs in, and it has a cobra on it too. And this basically means that they drew all their power from this false god. They said this false god of the snakes gave them all their power and gave them power to rule Egypt. That's what the pharaohs believed. Do you think that was real? Do you think it was a real power? No, of course not. God was about to show you that this was not a real power, and that their power was false, and that God is the most power and most supreme. And we think of Moses, who was one of God's people, and he ran away outside of Egypt into the wilderness, and God approached Moses in a burning bush, and a voice came in a burning bush. And remember, and he had a rod, he had this rod. And God is going to give him a job. He says, "Moses, you're going to go into Egypt, and you're going to set my people free. That is the job. You're going to go to Pharaoh and tell him, set my people free. And I'm going to give you a few miracles to show that you are of the true God." And he says, "Here's your stick, right? Hold out. Just drop your stick onto the ground." And he did so. And it turned into a snake. Whoa. Turned into a snake, and Moses ran. That's a snake. What? I don't. You know, if a snake bit you, then it would have been game over. It's not good for the snake. So he was scared. But Moses says, or God says, "Pick the snake up by the tail. Pick the snake up by the tail." And it became a rod again. And Moses said, so Moses was given the command to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let God's people go, and God would be with him and show his power. So that's what he did. God brought Aaron and Moses to Pharaoh, and he said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Do you think he wanted to let them go? No, of course not. He didn't want to let them go. He said, "No, why would I let them go?" So God was going to show his power. So Moses cast down, or Aaron cast down his rod. It turned into a snake. And Pharaoh says, let's get our magicians in here. Let's get our magicians. So he brings in the magicians, and they have their own rods, and they turn into snakes, because they were using not power of God, but power of evil. And they turned into snakes. But it was actually, when we see, look, the snake that Aaron had devoured the snakes of the Egyptians. They swallowed them up. And remember how they believed that the snakes were their god, and they believed that the snakes gave them power? God was saying, "See the power that you think you have? It's nothing compared to my power, the power that I have." And God was showing that the false gods, they're all fake, and they're all false, and it's only the true and living God that lives and reigns. And they claim to be wise people. They think they're so smart. But in Bible says, it says, in claiming to be wise, they are fools. And sometimes we claim to be wise, don't we? Sometimes we claim that we have all the answers, and sometimes we can actually do things without God, and we can do things, and we have our own idols. It may not be snakes, but it may be various things in our lives. It may be our phones, it may be our friends, it may be the internet, it may be video games, it may be anything. Anything that we put before God is an idol. And sometimes we think we can do things on our own. We can go through life on our own without God and cut him out. But we are reminded here that God is all-powerful. And God is so much more powerful than we can ask or think. And he can destroy these idols as he did for Egypt. And God eventually, remember how many plagues were there? Does anybody remember how many plagues in Egypt there were? Close. 10. There was 10 plagues in Egypt. And there was all plagues, and God released plagues. There was darkness, there was locusts, the river turned to blood. And then the final one, the death of the firstborn. And that's when the children of Israel were let free. And Moses, through God, Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And there, the land of snakes, the land of false gods that claimed to get power from the snakes, was defeated, and that God showed his power to be the true and living God. So, number three, the bronze serpent. So we've talked about Satan as the snake. We've talked about the enemies of God who have used snakes and worship snakes. We're now going to talk about the snakes that were in the Israelites' own camp. So the snakes that were in the camp of Israel. So when these children of God, they were forced to walk through the desert. They had to walk through the desert because they were going towards the promised land, the land that God promised them, and that they would be restored there. So they were going on this huge, really long journey, and it was really long, and it was a desert. So walking in a desert isn't pleasant, and they were traveling back to this land. And there was sandstorms, there was scorching heat, their mouths were, you know that feeling when you get when you're so thirsty, and you're like, oh, I just need a drink right now. Think about that, but all day, every day. It was long periods of time, but God provided them water. And God provided them water and provided them manna, which was bread from heaven. Actually, bread came, and God fed and watered, and in this place of hostility, God was there protecting his people. But the children of Israel didn't always see it this way. They didn't always see it this way. And they started to complain. Do we all complain from now and then? Yeah, we all complain, even me. But we shouldn't really complain considering how good God is. But they complained. And they say, why do we have to take this big long route to the promised land? Why do we have to take this big long route? Hasn't God, can God not provide us a quick way to it? And look at this food. It's only bits of bread. It's worthless. It's worthless food. And I'm really thirsty. You know what? We didn't have this trouble in Egypt. I think we should go back to Egypt. And that's what they all complained in their hearts. And remember how they were in chains. They forgot that they were in chains and they were enslaved in Egypt. But they wanted to go back. And they started complaining about God. And they complained to Moses and rebelling against God. But they forgot how good God had been to them. And sometimes we are like that too. We forget how good God has been to us each and every day. But they forgot how good God was. But they were in the camp one day. Maybe they were sleeping. And one day, imagine if you were in a tent and you're sleeping, bed clothes are over you, and you lift up the bed clothes, and there's 5 snakes sitting in your bed. How would you like that? Would you like that? No, I don't think I would like that. I think you'd be jumping out of bed very quick. And this is what happened. They were in the camp, and there were snakes everywhere. And remember when I say if the snake got its fangs into you, it would be game over. The snakes started to bite, and people would start having these snake bites on their arms, and it was really sore, and some people actually started dying, and it wasn't great. And they said, look, why are we in this situation? Why are we here? It's because we've rebelled against God, isn't it? It's because we've curse God for sending us in this way, and he's been so good to us. And he went to Moses and he said, Moses, look, we have been so we're so sorry. We've been so sinful. We've cursed God when we should have been thanking God. And now we have all the snakes, and I've got this snake bite, and I don't know what to do. So Moses does what we all should do and goes and prays to God and asks for wisdom and what we should do. And God tells him to do something. He tells him to make a snake of brass. Now, this isn't a snake of brass. This is a snake of felt. But he says, make a snake of brass and get a pole. And I want you to put the brass snake on it, so hopefully this stays like this here. A brass snake. Like that. It's better in that photo. But it haunts a brass snake. And I want you to build this brass snake, and I want you to hold it up. Hold it up like this. And whenever, if you have a snake bite, if anybody has a snake bite, look on this snake, and they'll be healed. So Moses held up his snake, held up the snake. It was a metal snake. And people that were like, oh, my bite. Oh, and they looked at the snake, and they seen that the venom, they seen that the bites were gone. Everybody who looked at the snake was healed. You know, the bites of sin, bites of the snake are like the bites of sin. Sin has consequences and sin leads to death. But they looked to the snake and were healed. And later in John chapter 3, when Jesus is alive, Jesus is talking to a man called Nicodemus. And he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And we think about Jesus and how Jesus was that person that was going to crush the head of the serpent. And yeah, like thousands of years later, God sends his Son, Jesus Christ, to be born of a virgin. And he sent him to live a perfect life and destroy the power of sin on the cross and destroy the power of the devil, rising again from the dead. And whenever you think about that, whenever you think about snakes, think about the snake hoisted high on this rod. And when you think about that, think about how Jesus hung on the cross for your sin to destroy the power of the devil, to destroy the power of Satan. Like in those stories where the brave knight destroys the dragon and frees the princess, we are captives to sin. And Jesus on the cross destroyed our sin and set the captives free. And you can be free too if you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. To repent means to turn away from your sin. Say, Lord, I know I've done wrong. Forgive me. And God will transform you, make you a new person in Christ, and you'll be on the way to glory and home, where God has planned to make all things new, like in the Garden of Eden, but better. And God has planned to make all things new. So whenever you think of snakes, think of the evil, think of sin, but think of the Christ and the God who's come to destroy that evil. Thank you very much for listening. Really appreciate it. Thank you.